Mood with Kim G.C. Moody Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Moody. I'm a Canadian tax expert who has over 30 years of experience at a specialist level dealing with Canada-U.S. tax matters for the private client. For those of you who know me, I love the study of leadership. I'm passionate about entrepreneurship and how tax and economic policy impacts Canadian entrepreneurs, executives, and average Canadians. This podcast will discuss topics relating to taxation, taxation policy, leadership, economics, and the odd political comment as it relates to the previous topics, all in a lighthearted and playful style. Strap in and come along for the ride. Good day. My name is Kim Moody. I'm your host for In the Mood with Kim G.C. Moody Podcast. And today I want to talk to you about the trust reporting rules, the Canadian trust reporting rules. And I'm recording this on March the 30th, 2024. And I took a couple weeks off from podcast recording because I was going on a holiday to Italy. First time in Italy in a long time. And I'm going to spend a couple weeks. And as a matter of fact, I'm recording this in Rome. And the reason I'm recording this while I'm on my vacation is because, as most accountants and tax professionals know, there was a significant announcement made on March the 28th, a couple days ago, by the Canada Revenue Agency, which basically, in a nutshell, announced that they're not going to require Bear Trust to report either a T3 or a Schedule 15 to the extent that they're otherwise not required to file pursuant to the new legislation. So I want to just talk to you about that today. And I have a Financial Post article that's coming out on Monday, which is April the 1st, which is going to have very similar sentiments to this podcast. But I thought it was just important to get my thoughts out quickly and at least memorialize them via this podcast. And so let me give you a bit of background on these trust reporting rules. And actually, before I do, let me just say that the reason why I wanted to do this podcast is because I'm very troubled by the announcement. And I think most tax professionals, certainly what I've been following online while I've been here in Rome, are quite troubled as well. And I think trouble is being kind. I think actually there's a lot of accountants and tax professionals and lawyers that are actually quite angry and upset. And I would probably fall into that category as well. And so with that, now let me proceed to a little bit of background. So the trust reporting rules, I mean, these are not new, and I've written about these a lot, twice in the National Post in the last 2 months, and then lots on our firm's blogs over the last 5 years. And so these rules were introduced as part of the transparency push by the OECD and other tax administrators around the world. And so Canada jumped on board in 2018, and the 2018 federal budget announced that they're going to introduce expanded trust reporting requirements. And those new reporting requirements, which would have to identify, you know, who the beneficiaries of a trust are, with very specific, you know, social insurance number information, and who the settlor of a trust is, with expanded definitions of who a settlor is, and who the trustees are of a trust. Again, reporting specific information about them, and the protectors of a trust as well. And those, you know, that kind of information, while in, you know, very invasive, you know, it has never been in Canadian tax law. And so there was a lot of trouble when the draft legislation was released later that year in August of 2018, or actually July, I guess, of 2018. And so the Joint Committee on Taxation between the Canadian Bar Association and CPA Canada made a submission to the Department of Finance on these rules about some of the concerns. It was a really good submission. And then there was others like the Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners that made submissions. And I was part of the Joint Committee submission. And, you know, I signed that letter, or actually I was part of the signatories. And so when 2021 came around, you know, there was no that draft legislation that had been released in 2018 had not been put into a bill. And so we were a little concerned, and there was a late announcement that the legislation would be delayed for another year, so until 2022. So fast forward to end of 2022, and again, there's no bill. But they made an announcement that it was going to be implemented for 2023. And so, okay. But in the midst of all this, the draft legislation that subsequently came out, the amendments, if you want to call it that, to the original draft legislation in 2018, added a surprise announcement, it wasn't even an announcement per se, it was an addition to the draft legislation that Bear Truss would now be added as a required reporting trust. And Bear Trusts are ignored under existing law in the Income Tax Act pursuant to the provisions of subsection 104.1. And the reason why they are, I think, is rather obvious. They act like an agent. It is a trust. A Bear Trust is a trust, but it acts as an agent for the beneficiaries. It accepts instructions from the beneficiaries. And so basically it's just a look through. And so when this new reporting requirement came into being, it was a real surprise because the Income Tax Act already excluded Bear Trust from all purpose of the act. It's the actual beneficiaries that report any income tax consequences. So there's really not a lot of mischief. But the real problem with adding Bear Trust is that they're just so common. You can have dad, for example, holding property on behalf of wife, or dad holding property on behalf of kids. Let's say a bank account that he's collected money on behalf and put it in trust for the kids over the years, and now that needed to be reported. And you could have some really benign legal relationships all of a sudden being captured into reporting because technically they are Bear Trusts. And so there's a lot of pushback, and the Department of Finance received a lot of pushback and writings. The Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners, STEP Canada, as an example, made an excellent submission, and there was a bunch of other organizations that made submissions that there's just no reason to have that type of voluminous information being required to be reported. And so, when that came into being, there was a lot of people like me that started to raise the alarm bell, because you're going to push tax preparers into now having to assess whether or not their clients have legal relationships that are trusts, that are akin to Bear Trust, that they would routinely just ignore as required and as expected, but now they'd have to report it. And if they don't report it, the penalties are quite significant. Minimum $2,500 to the extent you don't file on a timely basis, $25 per day to a maximum of $100, or sorry, to a maximum of $2,500. Or if it's akin to gross negligence, then the penalty regime was 5% or is 5% of the highest fair market value of the trust property at any time in the year. So these penalties are pretty significant. And so, lots and lots of pushback. So that's, kind of the a bit of the background. You have a lot of tax preparers who are not lawyers who now have to carefully assess the legal relationships to ensure that the legal relationship they're assessing on behalf of their clients is indeed a trust. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But let me give you just a bit more additional background before I get into some specific comments here. So park Bear Trusts and trust reporting for a second, and let's talk about the underutilized housing tax debacle. I mean, that was a very politically motivated tax that was introduced by the Liberal government to take effect for the 2022 calendar year. And basically it goes after non-Canadians who hold real estate, residential real estate. And of course, foreigners, non-Canadians are evil. And I'm saying that sarcastically, of course, because they're the ones that are causing all the housing problems. And I've written on this, very pointedly in the National Post, Financial Post, many times in the last 6 months. But to the extent that you have a non-Canadian that owns residential real estate and it's not sufficiently occupied, then they could be subject to a tax, a 1% tax on the fair market value of the property. Now, Canadians are exempt from the tax, but in a real surprise, when the legislation was introduced, in order to be exempt from the tax and or penalties, you had to proactively file if such residential properties were held through a Canadian corporation or a Canadian specified partnership, a specified Canadian partnership, or a specified Canadian trust. And again, you're forcing accountants to assess relationships that, benignly exist. Like, let's say between husband and wife, they own property jointly. Is that a partnership? Well, you don't know. You'd have to really look carefully at the facts. But if it is a partnership, then mom and dad would have to proactively file a UHT return to exempt themselves from the filing. And if they don't, they could be subject to significant penalties again. And so lots and lots of complaints and feedback provided, by the tax practitioner community on the UHT silliness. Because why on God's green earth would you have to proactively file and then assess benign legal relationships to make bloody sure that you're right? So what ended up happening is the tax filing deadline for the 2022 UHT returns was originally April 30th, 2023. So the same deadline as personal tax returns for most Canadians. And I'll talk more about that in a minute here. But so the commonalities between the trust reporting and the UHT filings, there's two commonalities. One is that accountants are forced into, or tax preparers for that matter, are forced into assessing legal relationships when many times they're not lawyers and they're not trained. So I've said that three times now in this podcast, and that's a real problem. And the second is the delay in deadlines. So let's talk about that. So I'm going to go backwards here. Instead of talking about trusts, I'll talk about UHT because that to me, kind of sets the stage for what happened on March the 28th. So the UHT, as I mentioned, was originally scheduled to be the deadline April 30th, 2023. But it was announced very close to that deadline, April 30th, that they would be delayed to, the filings would be delayed to October 31st, 2023. So another 6 month extension with no penalties. And so that was kind of welcome when it was received. But the problem with that is the announcement was made so close to April 30th of 2023. Accountants had scrambled to make sure their clients would not be facing penalties. And so when this announcement came, it was kind of like, what? Why didn't you tell us earlier? And so that, kind of left a bit of a bad taste in a lot of tax preparers' mouths. Fast forward to October 31, 2023, and people, tax preparers were now more closely assessing things and scrambling to get things done for that extended deadline. On the afternoon of October 31st, 2023, the government CRA announced that the deadlines would be extended to April 30th, 2024 for 2022 filings. I mean, think about that for a second. On the afternoon of October 31, 2023, which is when the deadlines are supposed to happen, and you've got tax preparers scrambling like crazy to make sure their clients are not going to be exposed to penalties, and all of a sudden they announce, oh, hey, we're just kidding. We're going to allow you to extend to April 30th, 2024, another 6 months later. So that left a pretty bad taste in the mouth as well. So now let's go to trust reporting. On trust reporting, as I already mentioned, there is significant feedback provided to the Department of Finance on the bear trust problems. They would be swamped with filings because bear trusts are very, very common and very benign. And they simply didn't listen to the feedback. They frankly ignored it. And so, but the CRA, who was charged with administering this, was trying hard. I'll give them some credit here. They're trying hard to put out some good guidance on, what is a bear trust, what needs to be reported, how you get a trust number. Their website was full of decent information, and they were trying to pump out timely information as issues arose. So from that perspective, they were trying to be helpful, which I think is good. But on March 28th, 2024, so just a couple of days ago, they announced that bear trusts would no longer be required to file the extended reporting information and T3s, the information, or sorry, the tax return, the income tax return, to the extent that it was, not otherwise required to file. So you've got accountants and tax preparers that are struggling like crazy to figure out, is this a bear trust? Does it need to report, under the threat of significant penalties? And literally 5 days before the April 2nd, 2024 deadline, they announce that they're not going to be required to file. I mean, what? On the one hand, that's good, right? That's good. On the other hand, it's like, really? You took this long to finally wake up and listen to the feedback? And how much effort was wasted by the tax preparer community? Now, there is going to be a lot of cynics out there who say, hey, listen, tax preparers and accountants, you guys benefit by, these complicated rules and these filings and extra fees. And so, why don't you just shut up because you benefit from all this. And to those cynics, I say, you know what? How about you take a sit down? Because virtually all tax preparers that I know are more concerned about their clients and making sure that their files and their filings are done correctly so as to not exp and timely filed so as to not expose them to penalties. They don't care, frankly, about the extra fees. They're already very, very busy. You might find some very, small group that are selfish and relish the opportunity for extra fees. But I can tell you, I rarely, rarely run across people like that in the profession. Instead, I find the preparers are more concerned, as I mentioned, about timely filing and, frankly, what's good for Canada. And this is not good for Canada. When you have such a huge wasted effort by, the vast majority of tax preparers in the last 3 months, and the CRA comes out 5 days before and says, yeah, you know what, just kidding. And we're going to think about this, on a go forward basis. The better side of me and most of the profession says, hey, thanks. Thanks for finally listening. But the bitter side is, come on. There's lessons to be learned here. And so let's talk about those lessons to be learned. I think the lessons to be learned are many. And I think it starts with communication. There's good organizations like the Joint Committee and STEP Canada and CPA Canada and the Canadian Bar Association that provide good feedback on a routine basis to the Department of Finance and to their pol and to the political level when necessary. I have been involved, for many, many years in many of those organizations at a leadership level, providing submissions and feedback. And I can tell you that the Department of Finance and the CRA, for the most part, take their jobs very seriously, obviously, and want to do what's right for Canada. But I can tell you, as time has gone on here, There has been, at least from my observation, and certainly the recent examples are evidence of that, the communication has just not been what it should be. And I'm not exactly sure why it's been that way. Like, there is some significant and good feedback that was provided on this Bear Trust material and on the UHT stuff. It would behoove the government and the leadership of the Department of Finance at the bureaucrat level and at the political level, and the CRA at the political and bureaucrat level, to listen carefully once, as opposed to failing slow. If you're going to fail at something, fail quick. I heard that saying recently from a colleague of mine, and I really like that. If you're going to fail at something, fail quick, instead of dragging on and having the failures happen very close to the deadline with wasted efforts all the way around, which doesn't contribute, positively to the productivity challenges that Canada has as a whole. So that's the first concern I have, is that the communication levels are certainly not there and they need to improve. And frankly, count me in for helping those communications to improve, because I would love to contribute. The second thing I think that this is evidence of is that, and I've been beating this drum for a long time, is that there is a big need for tax review and tax reform in Canada. And this is just a good way, or a good, sorry, a good lesson. When you have delays or announcements that come up so close to the deadline after significant wasted efforts, to me, that shows a lack of respect shown by the government to the taxpayer community and the tax practitioner community. And in my view, that respect needs to be rebuilt, if you want to call it that. And in my view, not a better way to do that than by just starting fresh, looking at what are all the areas of tax, including administration and legislation, that needs reform and review. And I'll keep beating this drum for probably the rest of my life, and I sure hope that we see some action on it. The last thing that I think this is a lesson for is that, and I've been starting to beat this drum, quietly to begin with, but loudly in the last little while here. The Department of Finance proudly, says on their website that they are, the party responsible for the development of tax policy. And that's the way it's been in Canada for a long time. I'm not sure that that is the right way anymore. When you have debacles like this, the trust reporting, the UHT reporting, and I didn't even mention the private corporation tax debacle of 2017, which, if you recall that, in July of 2017, there was a package of material released by the Department of Finance, to so-called, restore fairness to private corporations and their shareholders. And that's a podcast for another day, but those three examples in recent history are great examples, in my view, of the need to take a look at how tax policy is developed in Canada. Should it be under the sole purview of the Department of Finance? Well, if you're going to have debacles like this, I think the answer is no. There's improvement to be had. In my view, the development should be much more transparent rather than, consulting with stakeholders whenever it's deemed necessary. And frankly, even the consultations that happened are more, they're very limited in time, limited in scope. And frankly, in recent history, at least anyhow, I find that a lot of the feedback that's provided is just simply a waste of time and energy. As an example, the trust reporting and bare trust submissions that were made were just roundly dismissed and no feedback provided, at least to the organizations I was involved with. There was no feedback provided as to why. And so I think it's time to at least consider a new way of developing tax policy in Canada. And I'd like to see much more transparency and involvement from stakeholders right from the start, as opposed to once the policy is already pretty much developed. So those are, I think, the lessons to be learned. But I'm going to repeat myself on closing here. I think the lessons to be learned here are many, but I think it starts with respect. And I can tell you the taxpayer community, including myself, feels a big slap in the face for the huge amount of effort that has gone wasted, because that effort could have really been redirected right from the front end, rather than wasting all this time that now the government is going to reconsider. And that to me, like I said, is disrespectful. And I think in order to prevent that from happening in the future, there needs to be much better communication on the front end, on a go forward basis. So there you have it. For those who are going to listen prior to April the 1st, which is when my National Post article is going to be released, you'll see some similar themes in that article. But in the meantime, I would love your feedback and would love to see what you have to say on this topic. So thanks again and have a great day. Bye now.
So there you have it, another episode of In the Mood with Kim G.C. Moody podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it. I'm always open to feedback. Please reach out to me at my personal website at kimgcmoody.com. Feel free to sign up to my mailing list for my one-to-one-to-one newsletter, where I comment on one comment on taxation, one comment on leadership, and one comment on economic or public policy matters. And feel free to reach out to me on my LinkedIn account as well. Until next time, take care. Bye now.